Welcome to another Shooting and Shaving podcast with Steve Struve of the Shave Shack of Texas and me, Mark, a.k.a. Mandic59 of Sharpologist.com. And today we're going to talk about a number of things, both shooting and shaving.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. You got actually have a pistol competition going on today, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. What's the competition all about right now for this weekend?
It's the Area 4 USPSA Steel Challenge. And got people from all over the country, got people from Idaho, people from California, people from all over, about 300 shooters.
And this is a pistol competition. What's involved with that kind of competition? I noticed that when we were out there, there were different...
Stages would be right.
Yeah, like different target...
Target arrays?
Yes. How does that work?
Well, we've got 10 stages, and like I said before when we were talking, the Steel Challenge is a set of rules, and every stage, it doesn't matter where you go in the United States, they've all got names, and if you shoot on a stage here, it'd be the same as if you shot anywhere in the United States, in that you've got a series of steel targets, and it's all against the clock, and then you've got a stop plate, which stops the clock. So you shoot your targets, then shoot the stop plate, and that's it.
And how many people have showed up this weekend for the competition?
We've got between 250 and 300.
There's quite a few people out there right now.
Yeah, and a lot of people shoot multiple weapons, different classes, if you will. And so total, we've got up in the high threes, maybe 400 guns.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I noticed the vast majority were pistol types, but there looked like a couple rifle types, too, like the old-style carbines. Is that... Was I correct in that?
It's a PCC, which is a pistol caliber carbine. It's a 9mm. Looks like an AK-47. I mean, I'm sorry, AR-15. Well, it could look like anything, I guess. But anyway, it shoots a 9mm.
Hmm. So pistol bullets coming out of a
right, out of a carbine.
Carbine.
Yes.
Wow, okay. And these are mainly for accuracy versus distance.
Yes. Well, it's time and accuracy.
So we'll be discussing a little more on that later. But meanwhile, let's talk about some shaving things.
Okay.
I noticed in the Shave Shack when we were out there, a couple brands that I hadn't seen before. One was Bathhouse, and the other was Portus Kale.
Cali.
Portus Kale.
Okay,
that's Tell me a little bit about those two.
That's a gringo pronunciation. That's
I guess
all right.
So, yeah.
Portus Kale is... comes from a city in Portugal where the Ribeiro del Duero dumps into the ocean. And the Ribeiro del Duero is a river that runs through Spain and is where the best wine in Spain comes from, the Ribeiro del Duero region. And anyway, that's a side point. But anyway, where the Ribeiro del Duero dumps into the ocean there at Portus, there's a... shave soap company called Portus Kale, and it's excellent stuff, and really don't see it too much. And the people that were importing it, I don't believe have it anymore, so I'm trying to find it right now.
Well, I know you've got some there. I didn't look close enough. Was it just a single scent, or were there multiple versions, multiple scents of the shave soap?
This one is just a single scent.
Hmm, okay. Can you kind of describe the scent generally?
It smells good.
Ah, okay.
How's that?
Yeah, sure. And the other brand that I noticed was Bathhouse. Where are they from?
They're English. And that's another one that the importers kind of disappeared, and I'm kind of in negotiation now to try and bring it in direct. Excellent stuff.
I noticed there were a couple different scents of that. Is there anything that is selling more than the other?
No, actually, all of it kind of seems to sell equally. They've got 2 or 3 cents, but...
And they are on the Shave Shack website, correct?
Yes.
Good.
And I've got one customer in Dallas that drives down. You know, it's a 3-hour drive. He comes to get it. He can't find it on the internet, can't find it anywhere.
Except here.
That's right.
And hopefully once the whole COVID thing settles down and shipping returns to something approaching normal, you'll be able to get more of it in.
Yes, but I don't know about, you know, just when COVID starts to settle down, it seems like they dream up another excuse. So, you know, we're on the Delta Epsilon Beta 5 variant now, so no telling what they'll dream up, but that's another story.
And speaking of low inventory, I happen to notice that you still have two of the old Fine Accoutrements shave soaps left. So if anyone listening is interested in the old formulation, there is still one or two left if
that's
you
right.
take a look at the
this
Shave
the
Shack website.
Yep, we've got two left, and that's it.
And then soon the new stuff will start coming in.
Soon the new will be there. Out with the old and in with the new.
Let's talk a little more about the shooters as they relate to shaving. I see when I was there was some interest from the shooters. What kind of reaction do you get from the shooters as they come in and see the shack?
Well, I can put it down basically all of them into two words, shock and awe. They walk in and, of course, most of the people are A-type personality, manly man types. And of course, there are children, and I shouldn't say children, but younger people and females that shoot. But the general majority are male, and they walk in and they're shocked. They just go, oh, my God. You know, of course, the smell of the place knocks them down.
That's true.
With that many soaps and what have you in one spot, it's kind of knocks them down in a good way. And they're just like stunned.
You know? Do you try to guide them in some fashion, like asking them, for example, what kind of smells they like or what kind of shave products they currently have, and then steer them in a different direction?
Absolutely. And that's a big challenge because a lot of them say, I can't shave with a double-edged razor, a safety razor, because I had one and I cut myself all up. And I'll say, well, what kind of razor was it? What blade? I don't know. It was my grandpa's. I don't know. Well, chances are they found it's 40 years old, and it's got the same blade from 40 years ago, and it's been, you know, shipped and passed and thrown in the drawer, and Lord knows what shape the blade's in. But anyway, we try and get them going. I had a representative from a major pistol company, unknown. Its initials are SS. I won't say who it is. But anyway, came in, and he spent about $300-$400. He bought a brush. He bought some Sterling soap. He bought just a little bit of everything. Bought a razor. I think if I remember right, he bought a Mercur of some type. I don't remember which one. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Got him set up, and about a month later he comes. And he walks in and he says, man, I want to kiss you. And I went, oh, whoa, what's this all about? And he explained how I had changed his life. And every morning, that's one thing he did, was look forward to shaving. So there's some good experiences that come out of it.
Good. Okay. Let's talk about blades for a minute. You mentioned, by coincidence, you were mentioning that this other fellow was talking about blades and razors and things. What about blades for the beginner? What do you have in the shack that might be more appropriate for a beginner versus somebody that's been shaving for a while?
Well, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool feather guy, but that may not be for the beginners. We've got derbies. Derbies seem to do real well. I've got all the Russian, anything that comes out of Russia. I've got the Gillette black, Gillette green, Gillette yellow, I mean, whatever you need. And just about any of those Russian blades are perfectly fine.
Do you find that these new people are resistant to trying more than one blade, or do you try and encourage them to try different blades?
No, sometimes I'll sell them like a little sample pack, you know, like five blades of half a dozen different brands, and, you know, always try and get a derby, and a derby seems to be a crowd pleaser for the beginner. Okay, this is Steve on a hot July day. We just got finished with a full weekend. I'm here with Trenton Mitsuoka, five-time speed champion shooter, and Trent's going to talk a little bit about his ideas of shooting and kids and bringing it up and what he shoots and how he does it. Here we go, Trent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So just tell us a little bit about, we talked earlier about your ideas about you won a red dot and you gave it off, and what's that all about?
Yeah, so as I've won over the years, you kind of get showered with prizes, and eventually you end up with prizes that maybe you don't really need, or
you just have too many of.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, rather than throwing stuff away or throwing it on eBay or GunBroker or whatever, it's kind of the worst case scenario when, in terms of a sponsor who donates to a prize table. They don't really or they really don't want to see it go on eBay because it's going to mess up their MSRP and blah, blah, blah. But sort of the best case scenario is for it to end up in just the right hands, which I like to do is if I find a prize, a gun or a red dot or whatever, is to find the absolute best case scenario. So today's case was a young lady named Trinity, and I gave her a Vortex red dot, which, you know, I have tons of. I don't need. And she's an up-and-coming shooter. And
not that that's a bad thing to have, but a person can only have so many.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I found an up-and-coming junior shooter that could really, you know, use it. And that's really the best-case scenario when it comes in terms of sponsor prizes and things like that, is to put it in just the right hands. And then, you know, I made a point to explain to her that, you know, shooting is – not about the glory and the victory and winning trophies and all that. What we're really doing is we're trying to self-improve. I mean, obviously, you don't come out to the range to shoot worse than you did yesterday.
And unfortunately, that happens sometimes.
It does.
But it's not your intention.
Yeah, the intent is to come out and do better than you did yesterday. And if you can encourage the young ones to apply that not only to their shooting but to life in general – what will happen, hopefully, is that they'll become better human beings for it, and hopefully it will be better for the sport at large that way.
Okay, great. And what exactly type pistol or brand or what is it that you shoot most often?
I'm mostly known for shooting a rimfire rifle with a red dot on it.
Okay.
And but I also shoot a PCC, which is a pistol caliber carbine with the red dot on it as well. Okay. And I also shoot a 9mm open class gun, which is the anything goes category. And also a rimfire pistol open division. So I'm mostly a red dot shooter these days, although I did start out as an iron sight shooter. Yeah. It's just that typically the faster divisions are the open class. So I wanted to go after those divisions.
Okay. So I noticed that you're here with your dad and you're traveling in a nice motorhome. Are you on the road all the time or what is your schedule like?
You know, I try to get to a major match, no matter where it is in the nation or in fact, even the world, in a non-COVID world. But I try to get to a major match once a month. During the shooting season, which is usually March until November.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find me around, you could find me anywhere around the country, you know, looking for the fastest shooters, the best, the biggest matches. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the one that's going after the matches with the biggest payout, the best prizes and blah, blah, blah. What I'm looking for is, the best people, the best run matches, the ones that all my friends are going to, you know, and then while I'm there, I drag dad along and we have the main goal nowadays is just have fun with dad.
No, that's perfect. What a great idea. So here at Cloth and Cartridge Club outside of College Station, how did you hear about this place and what made you decide to come here?
Well, Dad kind of talked me into it. He was he's always perusing, looking for matches for us to go to, and you know, I was sort of on the fence of whether or not I wanted to go. And then he kind of talked me into it. Said Vegas is on the way and on the way back, and that's pretty much all you have to do to talk me into going.
Right. Well, how was your time here? Did you enjoy the place?
Oh yeah, I loved it. The match was run great. The flights started right on time. The food was good. The people were awesome. The you know, Corey Kay, the match director, was very accommodating. Mm-hmm. Yourself were, you know, very hospitable to us.
And the dogs don't bite.
Oh no, the dogs were great. I was hoping to. I would have traded my red dot prize for one of your dogs.
Could you make that two red dots? Okay, well, so that about wraps it up. Thank you for stopping by. And where were you when you came here? Where was your last shoot?
My last shoot was Oregon, in Bend, Oregon. It was
so you live in Central California, so you went north to Oregon and then came catacorder down here.
Yep, yep.
That was a pretty nice ride from Oregon to here, wasn't it?
Yep, yep, yeah. And then our next stop will be actually at my home range, and then after that we'll be on the east coast of Pennsylvania September.
Okay. All right. Well, that about wraps it up here at Cawthon Cartridge Club for Shootin' and Shavin'. I'm Steve, and that was Trenton. We thank you a lot.